Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Okay, I made Menegan's head explode because I just quickly threw out a thought, you know,
yes.
Hey, you can get players for, if this doesn't work and you feel you need to trade Miles and he's not coming back and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get mad at Miles. I understand. I'm not going to get mad at the Browns. The Browns are they're coming off a 3-14 season.
Right.
I threw out, I want some players in return.
Okay.
And I threw out a hypothetical with Kwasi Adofa-Mensah in Minnesota.
Yep.
And, you know, J.J. McCarthy sitting there. He's a backup quarterback. My guess is they're not going to trade him. My guess is they'd prefer him over Sam Darnold. But Sam won a lot of games for him. And if they decided to keep Sam, then they could move him. And you got Jordan Addison there, and you got a late-round pick. Dano, this one's for you.
Oh, no. What are you going to do to me?
You could pick up the phone and call, you know, your buddy in Minnesota who you used to work with. Or you could pick up the phone.
Here we go.
And call last year's coaching consultant, Mr. Mike Vrabel, in New England. And say, Mike, you sat there and you watched Miles Garrett work. What'd you think? You liked him. Okay.
Wait, you know that for a fact?
How can a coach not like Miles Garrett? How can a coach like Mike Vrabel, defensive monster, not like defensive monster Miles Garrett? And you pick up the phone and you say, you know what? You guys have the 4th pick in the draft.
Okay, now I like where you're talking.
Now we're. And by the way, Dan, you ready? Andy, could you get a spit cup for Dan, please?
No, Jeff, no.
You need a towel because he's going to start drooling. I just looked at an ESPN mock draft to double check draft positions.
Yes.
And this mock draft from ESPN, it's put out by Matt Miller, has at number 4, the Patriots selecting defensive tackle Mason Graham from Michigan.
Mm. Ah.
They also have...
The wrecker of game plans. Yes,
they
yes.
also have, in the second round with a 38th pick, New England taking... Dan, could you pass the spit towel over to Andy, please? Jack Sawyer, defensive end from Ohio State.
Oh, I like this so far. Let's keep
and
going. Yes.
Sitting on New England's bench, former Michigan, Tennessee, promising young quarterback who played one game this year and was 22 of 29 with a big arm at 6'5", 240 pounds, Joe Milton. Hi, we'll take Joe Milton, the 4th and the 38th. Here's Miles Garrett. You draft two defensive linemen, and you get a quarterback you can develop while you sign Kirk Cousins or fill-in-the-blank veteran to play this year. Done.
Throw in another first for next year.
I want
Fine,
another
let's do it.
If you give me another first, I'll do it. I'm not.
You're higher on Joe Milton than I am. Joe Milton is whatever.
Joe Milton doesn't do anything.
If I were really high on Joe Milton, I wouldn't say to bring in and develop while you assign the veteran quarterback, except for one thing. Though Joe Milton was a later round pick, oh my God, over this guy. They're drooling over him. And their big things out of New England. You know, Patriots could really improve their draft situation if they trade Joe Milton.
Mm.
Blah, 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 blah. Mm. I'm just saying, this. My only point on all this is this. I just threw out a trade that Dan is not like poo-pooing. I just threw out two names that made Andy go, ooh, wait a minute, Jack Sawyer.
And I appreciate you bringing that up.
And Mason Graham?
Now it sounds like it's Baskin and Weaver, because I'm now doing the show with Sonny Weaver Jr.
Give me my pancake, or give me my picks back, you pancake eating.
That's right.
I want my picks back.
Diana Rossini, quote, from one NFL executive, quote, buckle up. This isn't going to be a clean, easy breakup between the Browns and Myles Garrett. It's going to be a wild few weeks. Diana Rossini just sent that out from The Athletic.
Joe Milton last year at Tennessee, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 2,800 yards passing in 12 games. Really strong arm. Bring him in. Maybe you develop him. And in the meantime, you get two starting defensive linemen.
Oh, Boston. And Andy, you're going to love this.
And Andy, hold on. Yeah. Let me throw one more thing at you.
Yeah.
You have the second pick. Abdul Carter, Mason Graham, and Jack Sawyer. And you have redone your defensive line for the next 5 years.
Boston.com. Could Patriots further boost draft haul by trading Joe Milton this spring? Oh!
I'm telling you.
Yeah, Joe Milton doesn't do a whole lot.
My only point with all this
he
is this.
Much for me either.
If it doesn't work out, and if Miles insists on a trade, and the Browns decide, yep, we must trade him, despite the Browns saying they won't, man, is there opportunity here? All it takes is one team to want to give you a boatload. Ask the Houston Texans.
That's all I keep thinking about. Every Browns fan in the world is like, okay, this is what we gave up for Deshaun. Can we get that back now? Can we get that back now for Miles? I'm just wondering what this is going to mean for Andrew's job.
Andy,
okay, because this is
give me my picks back, you pancake eating.
So here, when it comes to Andrew in this situation, like, I think the decision to walk, and because this will be the second biggest decision to happen here in a while, right? The decision to bring in Deshaun and let Baker go, I think the reason that Andrew and Kevin, those guys are still around here, is because ultimately it wasn't on them, and I don't care what anybody else says, okay? Ultimately, that deal had to be done by the person that wanted to sign the check, right?
A deal like that doesn't get done without the guy signing the checks. And that's not being disrespectful.
That's not being mean. You just don't pull off that deal.
That's reality.
Ownership has to sign off on that.
That's reality.
That's all there is to it, okay? And it's nothing disrespectful. Now he's in another situation where you've got a bigger superstar that wants out. What are you going to do?
If Mike Vrabel loved Myles Garrett, okay, and you could get a first and a second from New England because they're the fourth and 38th
picks.
Does
he think New England's going to the Super Bowl faster than the Browns, though?
Does it matter?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Because he's under contract for 2 years.
You're right, it doesn't matter what he thinks. You're right, I keep forgetting.
He's under contract for 2 years.
You're right.
And they've got a young quarterback who people think is interesting. If you could trade, and this is just the type of thing that might be out there. You get the fourth pick, you get the 38th pick, just going by their mock. Two defensive linemen. You still have number two in your draft, Abdul Carter from Penn State.
Four picks in the top 103.
There you go.
Now you have five, right?
You've added three starting defensive linemen, two ends and a tackle. And you have a young quarterback who may or may not be your quarterback of the future. Mm. Oh, the fun we're going to have. Jim's in Strongsville. James, welcome.
Hi, Jim.
Jeff, I love you to death.
Thanks.
So much. I'm just saying that. Can we read the deal in reality, not fantasy land? I know you believe that there is – Mike Vrabel's not stupid, and that trade would be stupid. So that's not happening. But anyway,
Jim, it only takes one. That's it. That's why I'm saying
there are people
there are opportunities out there. Luka's now a Laker.
That's what I was going to say.
Thank you.
There are people that woke up this morning that thought the Luka deal was stupid. Just don't forget that.
Tell me the last time somebody traded a great player for other players and not. I mean, it just doesn't happen. That's my only point. Is like,
well, this trade with New England, just the idea of New England, there was just a backup young quarterback, and then a couple of draft picks, a first and a second.
What this says to me is this is a rebuild. Okay, Andrew Berry, I was probably having him empty out his desk right now. In the NFL, you get a chance to rebuild a team once. You don't get a chance to rebuild a team twice. And I'm sorry. If we're going to do this quote unquote rebuild, I don't want Andrew Berry being the one picking these players. All his interests at this point do not align with the organization. If the organization is rebuilding, this guy still needs to hold on to his job. Next year, if they keep him, all of a sudden becomes this zombie year. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to get better. They might tread water, and you're going to have firing him at the end of next year just to save face for Jimmy. I have no interest in prolonging the Andrew Berry experience. For what? We have seen for 5 years how he drafts players. Do you want him drafting players from this big haul you're going to get, whether you start really moving your veterans or not? I don't. I want no part of that.
See, Jim, you've taken it a step further. And I think that's viable. You know, if you are going to trade Miles, do you want the people in place making the picks if you get picks back in return? I think that's a real valid question.
I think you're just kicking the can down another year with these guys if you do that. Because let's be honest with you, if they are quote-unquote semi-rebuilding, next year's not going to be a great year either. It's just not. I mean, a good year for rebuilding, quote-unquote, would be 6-7 wins. You're going to be happy with that, bringing these guys back in. So, well, we've got to develop these guys and see what we have. Jimmy has been criticized for being knee-jerk, and I get it. If you want to put the Deshaun on him and say, well, you know, listen, if Deshaun Watson was the only mistake Andrew Berry made, then I could probably live with it. But I can name 100 other deals and different things that he did draft-wise, free agent-wise, contract-wise, that were bad. Deshaun Watson's the biggest one. It's the elephant in the room. But it's certainly not the only thing that he's done that he hasn't passed the test on.
All right, Jim, thank you. Dane Brugler from The Athletic writes the draft Bible every year. He's going to join us here at 12:20. So just coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from Dane. Can't wait. Mark is in North Olmsted. Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great.
Hanging in.
Big day.
So here's my thing. I was a little peeved when I called in, but sitting here waiting, it all goes back to Dorsey and DePodesta and Dorsey losing the power struggle. Because DePodesta wins, DePodesta gets Berry in here, and it's literally been all downhill then.
Ant Stefanski. Stefanski. Remember, they wanted Stefanski the year before.
Yeah. Partners in here, yeah. And I believe when Deshaun became available, if we had Dorsey, that wouldn't have happened. But to even get off of that, like, I'm not a big John Dorsey guy, but I trust him more to draft and get me good players than I do Andrew Berry. I trust Andrew Berry more to make this trade than I do for him to handle the capital.
What do you think of Josh Allen, Mark?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Josh Allen, I mean, we took Baker, but Josh Allen wouldn't have been Josh Allen here, Jeff. That's one of the most disingenuous things to say.
That's what everybody says. Why not? Why couldn't he have flourished here?
Did you see what happened? Did you think he's going to flourish with Hugh Jackson and four different coordinators in 4 years? Are we for real? The best thing that helped him.
Team ended up making the playoffs when Kevin Stefanski came in.
No, that's. He was.
Maybe if he had a better quarterback all along, maybe it works. I don't know. Mark, thank you for the phone call. Dane Brugler from The Athletic. If you're looking for a man who knows the draft and knows the value of draft picks, Dane's the man, and he's joining us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. He writes The Beast, the best draft breakdown you're going to find for The Athletic, and you can go read it. Dane, great to have you with us.
Hey, Dane.
Anything going on today, guys?
Nothing. Kind of weird.
Luka Doncic got traded.
Yeah, the truck is leaving from Cleveland to go out to Arizona for baseball.
Yeah, and the Cavs are playing the Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah. What are you doing?
There you go. Yeah, they're doing well. Yeah. No, we're in the thick of draft season, but it's amazing how the NFL, even in the off season, just commands the headlines. And yeah, the trade request by Myles Garrett. I mean, this has to be the most high profile player that I can remember that has in any sport that has come out with a trade request like this. You know, at least in a long time, and so. You know, it's just it's tough. It's the just the latest trickle down effect of the disaster that has been the Deshaun Watson trade, and unfortunately, it's not going to be the last. I mean, like, this organization's going to be feeling the effects of that decision for several more years. And I think that when you look at it from that perspective, you kind of see where Myles Garrett is coming from. Because all he cares about is winning right now. He's won the individual awards. He's, you know, he's already viewed as one of, if not the best defensive player in the NFL. And so he wants to win Super Bowls. And I think he looks at the landscape of the organization and says, I need to go elsewhere to do that. And it doesn't look like a quick fix right now with the Browns organization. And that's really unfortunate because I think the quarterback position has really sunk them.
Let me turn to your area of expertise on this one. Combine this for me. You have a 29-year-old defensive end, Pro Bowl talent, defensive player of the year, but he's 29. Is he worth two first-round picks in a trade? Is he worth more?
There's no question.
Is he worth
more?
I
mean, he is worth more. I don't know if you're going to get that. Obviously, we're going to hear a lot of people talking about what they should get in a return. Your value is whatever the market's willing to pay for you, plain and simple. And so, obviously, Miles wants to go to a contender that's going to eliminate plenty of teams. But if there are enough 4, 5, 6 teams that are considered contenders that are in the mix for this, then all of a sudden that trade compensation, you know, it could be pretty healthy. You know, being a 29-year-old will be 30-year-old pass rusher. But he still is going to be one of, if not the best defensive player for the next 2, 3, 4 years. And there are plenty of general managers that are not looking beyond the next 3, 4 years. They want to win now. And so, you know, if you're the Falcons, if you're the Commanders, if you're the Lions, there's plenty of teams that should be in this mix. And, you know, I think there'll be no shortage of calls and offers. It's just a matter of, will the Browns hear anything that really piques their interest? Will they hear a deal that says, you know, we can't turn this down? I don't know if that's going to be, if they'll actually get 3 first rounders, but if you get 2 firsts and maybe 2 more day 2 picks, it would be tough to turn that down in the right situation.
How does this change what you think might be the Browns' game plan going into the draft? Does it?
I don't think it changes anything, to be honest. When you have the number 2 pick in the draft, I mean, first and foremost, the quarterback position, it's a need on this team. We know that.
Right.
If you believe in any of these quarterbacks, that's your pick at 2. It doesn't matter if Myles Garrett is on the roster or not. If you believe that there is a quarterback in this draft who is going to help you win games, compete for the division, and be the long-term future of your franchise, that's your pick at number 2, regardless of anything else. If you do deal Myles Garrett, I don't think anything else changes, because at number 2, you're not thinking about need. You're thinking about what's the best player that's going to impact our roster. Now, obviously, an edge defender, a pass rusher becomes much more of a need on the roster, but you're still looking for impact players. This is an organization, this front office, you know they're going to want to move back first and foremost. If they're not going to draft a quarterback at 2, which right now, February 3rd, I don't think they're drafting a quarterback. That's just, you know, my gut feeling right now, just because this is not a great quarterback class. They're going to look to move back first and foremost to get more draft picks. And, you know, this is a class where, you know, there's plenty of solid talent, just not a lot of elite talent. But they're going to be in a position to get better with that early pick. And I don't think a Myles Garrett trade is going to affect what they plan to do early.
Dane Brugler is joining us from The Athletic, The Beast, his draft guide. Go read it. You'll be a much, much more educated football fan by doing so. Tell me how good Abdul Carter is.
Yeah, Abdul Carter, you can make an argument, is the best player in the draft. You know, you want pass rushers that affect the quarterback, affect the backfield, and he does that on a consistent basis. And, you know,
this is a guy that coming into going to Penn State was kind of an off-ball linebacker. This year, they moved him to more of an edge defender, and it took a little bit. It wasn't a seamless transition, but throughout this college football season, he got better and better and better. And anybody that watched his performance in the playoffs, especially in that final game against Notre Dame, I mean, he was with a bum shoulder. He was playing his best ball, leaving it all out there, playing at a very high level. So not the biggest guy, like he's not the size of a Myles Garrett, but he has exceptional get off. He creates a ton of force because of that initial momentum that he creates. He can win in different ways. He can drop, he can play the run. So, you know, he is in this draft class, you can make the argument he is the best player. And if he doesn't go at one, he will absolutely be in the mix for the Browns at number two.
What did you learn about the Browns at the Senior Bowl? Anything? Anything like striking you? Like you walked out and go, oh, that's right up the Browns' alley.
You know, I think I was actually standing next to Coach Stefanski on the sidelines during practice for one of the Wednesday's practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was watching the quarterbacks, keeping a close eye. And, you know, no surprise there. This is a team that's going to be looking at their quarterback options. And this is such a unique quarterback class because, like I said, it's that the top of the draft doesn't have, you know, the guys like we saw last year when we saw quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, plenty of teams would have the top quarterbacks in this draft class behind the first six that were drafted last year. You know, it's a different quarterback class. And so you're really doing your due diligence on the second rounders, the third rounders, guys like Tyler Shuck from Louisville, from Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, Jalen Milroe from Alabama, the non-Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders quarterbacks that are, you know, if you go with an Abdul Carter at 2 overall, then maybe on day 2, you take a flyer on one of these guys, someone that's not going to keep you from drafting a quarterback high in the draft in 2026, if it doesn't work out, but still someone that has talent and that might be able to ascend, give you promise at that position. So, you know, I think, you know, this is a draft where quarterback's going to be mentioned a lot for the Browns. And I think it's all about fit. You know, who do they, you know, Coach Stefanski talk a lot about, they feel good. It doesn't matter the type of quarterback, you know, what their strengths are as a quarterback, they can mold the offense around them. And so I think it's interesting when you look at this quarterback class, who do they feel can come in, grasp the offense, and really give them a competition, which is, I think, what they're looking for.
Dane Brugler joining us from The Athletic, The Beast, his draft guide out. Read it. It's outstanding. Tell me, we hear a lot about the top two guys at quarterback in this draft, Sanders and Cam Ward. Is there, in your estimation, Dane, a huge drop-off to that next group of guys, or is it a little closer than people are being led to believe?
Yeah, well, and I think it's important for everybody to remember, like, there isn't, like, a set pecking order here where everyone's going to have the same quarterback one. Everyone's going to have the same quarterback two, and so on and so on. I mean, Cam Ward is not going to be the consensus number one quarterback for all 32 teams. That's just not how this works. And same thing with Shedeur Sanders at two. Shedeur Sanders might be the fourth or fifth best quarterback for some teams. You know, it's not going to be a consensus. And so I think when you look at some of the other quarterbacks in this class, whether that's, like I mentioned, Jackson Dart, who has plenty of tools. Now there's a lot of questions about, you know, can he make full field reads? How quickly can he adapt to an NFL style offense? You know, Tyler Shuck is a seventh year senior. There's questions about how quickly he sees the field. Jalen Milroe is not quite NFL ready. It's going to take time for him to develop. So, and then, you know, even Will Howard from Ohio State, Kyle McCord, Syracuse, Quinn Ewers, Texas, Riley Leonard, Notre Dame. There's a lot of other quarterbacks besides the two that get mentioned the most. And I think it's important to remember that, again, we're going to have a lot of different orders from team to team, how they view these quarterbacks. And it's all about fit. I can't emphasize that enough. Some teams are going to look at what one quarterback offers and say, okay, yeah, we like the big play potential that Cam Ward offers, while another team might look at him and say there's just too much looseness to his game and maybe it just doesn't fit what we want to be, our identity as an offense. So you know, I think we have to look at it in those terms where every team is going to have a very different quarterback order based off of their scheme, where they are in their roster build, just all these determining factors that will affect how they stack the quarterbacks.
Another Mobile question I just want to ask you, just because he's a local guy who played at Bowling Green, tight end, Harold Fannin Jr., who played for Canton McKinley. I know you. I caught you had a note or two about him throughout the Senior Bowl. Your thoughts on him, and the Browns could be looking for a tight end, too. That's why I'm fascinated by this kid to see if maybe he has a chance to come home.
Well, it's an outstanding tight end class. I mean, from the first round to the seventh round, there's a lot of quality tight ends in this group. And Harold Fannin Jr. is right there in that mix. A likely day two pick, probably in the third round, is where he's going to come off the board. Really, you know, he's straight line explosive, a little awkwardly athletic. But, you know, he uses that speed where he can challenge defenses both vertically and horizontally. He catches everything. I mean, the ball just rarely hits the ground. He's got some juice after the catch. You see a physical stiff arm. You see him. He has the balance where he's going to carry tacklers for extra yards. The adjustment that he has downfield is really impressive. He's a little bit undersized for a tight end, maybe more of an H-back, more of an F. But he's a guy that you can use across the formation. That's how Bowling Green used him. He played their A tight end position, which was really a weapon for them, and they schemed him across the formation, used him in different ways. I mean, a third of his snaps were in the slot. He would line up out wide as a receiver, and so there's some versatility there. And he's also just a young player, still just 20 years old, still learning things. So you look at the upside that he has to offer, and it's like, okay, you know, we can do something with that, even if it might look a little bit different from some of these other tight ends. But like I said, it's a loaded tight end class. Plenty of these guys are going to go in the top 50, top 60 picks, guys that look like future NFL starters.
Dane Brugler joining us. Dane, there are a couple of guys that are on NFL rosters out of last year's draft whose names get floated out there. J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. We would all assume that he's going to stay in Minnesota and they're going to move on from Sam Darnold. I'd love your thoughts on that. And another former Michigan quarterback, Joe Milton, who went to New England along with Drake May and played in one game and looked okay. What do you think of those two young guys?
Yeah, well, with McCarthy, I don't see any reason why the Vikings would, you know, even with factor in the injury as well. You know, as a team that would be looking to trade for him, that becomes a factor as well. Where is he in his rehab and development? Any long-term concerns with the knee? So that's a factor as well. But first and foremost, I don't see the Vikings looking to unload J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, they liked him enough to draft him in the first round last year. They're still believers. And while Sam Darnold had a heck of a year, you know, it's not an easy situation to just, you know, he's going to demand a lot of money, and it's not as simple as franchising him either, because that's a high tag number. So I think it's more likely they move on from Sam Darnold rather than I think the most likely situation is they move on from Sam Darnold. The number two most likely is they find a way to keep both of them for next year. And then third would be to hold on to Sam Darnold and trade J.J. McCarthy. I don't see it happening. I think it's a non-factor for them. With Joe Milton, you know, he's always had the talent. It's never been about, you know, is he talented enough? I mean, this guy is 6'5", right, just under 250 pounds, big kid. The arm is remarkable, and we saw it. We saw it at Michigan. We saw it at Tennessee. You know, he can throw it through a brick wall, but it's all about consistency with him. And while he did pretty well in week 18 for the Patriots when he got a chance to get on the field, did a nice job in the preseason. You know, a year ago at this time, teams were talking about him as a tight end convert just because of just the inconsistencies that he showed. And you know, 6 years in college, wasn't until his final year that he really became a starter. And so there's still plenty of questions about, can he do it consistently throughout four quarters of a game, throughout 17-game schedule? And so I don't, you know, if you're the Patriots, unless someone blows you away with an offer, which I don't think anybody would, you know, why are you just going to trade him when, you know, you don't know if something might happen with Drake May or something like that with an injury. So I don't see any way that they just give away, you know, Milton for a fourth round pick. And if you're an NFL team and you didn't draft him early last year, I doubt you're giving anything more than a fourth round pick to roll the dice on Joe Milton. So in my opinion, I don't think J.J. McCarthy or Joe Milton will be traded this offseason.
If you're the Browns and you have Nick Chubb coming back from injury, and you hope that he's back on your team next year, at least I know the fan base certainly does, and a draft that's supposed to be, correct me if I'm wrong, pretty deep in running backs, how low can you go, Dane, and get a guy that you think could come in and be a starting running back for you? How long could you wait?
Yeah, I mean, you can wait to the third or fourth round and still feel confident that you're getting someone that you can add to the mix and is going to help you immediately. There are a dozen running backs in this draft that you can make an argument should be drafted in the top 100. I don't think all 12 will be, but that just speaks to the depth of this group and how many good players will still be available when we get to day three. So, you know, and that's maybe the biggest reason why Ashton Jeanty from Boise State, even though he's one of the top 10 players in this draft, he might not go in the top 10 because of the running back position being what it is, and not every team looking to draft that position high, but also the depth of this class. And teams will look at it and say, you know, we'll get our corner, we'll get our offensive tackle here in the top 10, and we feel great getting a Travion Henderson in the second round, a Quinshon Judkins in the third round. You know, R.J. Harvey from UCF did a great job at the Senior Bowl, so did Devin Neal. We can go on and on with these running backs. There's a lot of guys that are really talented that can come in and play a role for you immediately. So, yeah, this is a running back year where if you were looking for someone to add to the mix and help your offense pretty quickly, you can afford to wait to the third or fourth round and still feel confident you're getting someone that can fill that role.
Dane, last thing, after hanging out of the Senior Bowl, did you leave there thinking anything more solid position-wise about the Browns than you did before you went?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think I was hoping one of the quarterbacks in Mobile would have kind of taken the reins and said, hey, I'm clearly a top 50 pick. And I don't think that happened. That doesn't mean that a Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, that they won't go top 50, but nothing they did in Mobile really stood out as a statement that says, okay, I should be drafted that high. But, you know, obviously this team is going to be looking at quarterback throughout the entire process. You know, we're about to get to the combine here in 3 weeks. That'll be a big step. Once the coaches get more involved, and that's why the Senior Bowl is so big. The coaches get involved for the first time. They get to learn these guys as people, just see, you know, what they're like and how they might fit culturally. And that'll continue at the combine when they have a chance to sit down and interview with all these quarterbacks. And so that's a big part of the process is who do they connect with as people during the interview process. That's as much a factor as what the tape says with who the Browns will be looking at quarterback in this draft.
Dane, thank you very much. As always, great coverage on The Athletic, on the NFL draft. If you want to know all about it, go read The Beast, Dane's Bible about the NFL draft for 2025. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Dane.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Dane joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dane Brugler was just with us, and Dane from The Athletic writes The Beast. It's the most comprehensive draft guide you're going to find, and so I'd suggest you read it. Dane is into it, and Dane's a local guy. Dane lives here in the area, and he was at the Senior Bowl, checked out a bunch of things, and talked about the number 2 pick with the Browns and the Myles Garrett trade request, which all of a sudden is a real interesting combination. In case you missed it, if you just tuned in, because we've been talking about it all day, and Meredith just mentioned it there in her 2020, Myles Garrett issued a statement today, and it was a mass release. All came out at 11 o'clock, and he goes through some really nice things about the Browns and everything else. Says the goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton, which, as Andy has nailed, is exactly what Andrew Berry said, is we want him to go from Cleveland to Canton. Well, he says that's not his goal. His goal is to compete and win a Super Bowl. And then Miles sums it up with that trade. With that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. Then you get a really nice, cool little Miles MG95 signature, which is kind of cool.
Wow.
On the statement. Dane chatted about, okay, Miles requests this. You have the second pick in the draft. Is there any correlation here? What's it all mean?
Right now, February 3rd, I don't think they're drafting a quarterback. That's just, you know, my gut feeling right now, just because this is not a great quarterback class. They're going to look to move back first and foremost to get more draft picks. And, you know, this is a class where, you know, there's plenty of solid talent, just not a lot of elite talent. But they're going to be in a position to get better with that early pick. And I don't think a Myles Garrett trade is going to affect what they plan to do early.
Interesting that he says he doesn't think they're going quarterback. I know you're happy to hear that.
That's what I want to hear, because if they don't think there's a quarterback that's worthy of being drafted at number 2, hello, Kirk Cousins, and whatever they want to do after that, and maybe we're waiting till next year. Maybe you're going to reap the benefits of your Myles Garrett trade next year or this year.
You know, we keep hearing that name, Kirk Cousins. Boy, I sure hope they have a doctor take a good look at that Achilles. He was really good early on last year. Was really not very good. Then he got benched.
Yep. I think he's the connections he has with current coaches is going to make a play in this. Whether it's the final straw, I don't know. But he definitely knows the guys that are here, and he this could be a good fit for him next year.
Yep. Roman's in Canton. Roman.
Hey, Roman.
What's up, fellas? Hey, I can't help but just be mind blown by. I know that we're an optimistic fan base and we always look for the bright side of things, but Miles is an intelligent person. He's not just a smart football player. He's an intelligent person. And he wouldn't be asking to leave a team that drafted him, and he's been through literally, you know, the worst parts of an NFL, you know, career than if he didn't see what the writing on the wall. He has, I mean, he has minor ownership in the Cavs. So it's not a matter of fact of him not wanting to stay here. He knows that we're another 3 years maybe from being competitive again. Let's be honest, because what Jimmy Haslam did, and I blame all this on Jimmy Haslam, whether it was AB, you know, approaching Jimmy with the idea of trying to go get Deshaun, and then we got brought off the table because our offer didn't make sense. Jimmy's the one who signed that $260 million check to confirm and guarantee that a quarterback who hadn't played in 2 years and had all these question marks above him was going to come here and, you know, take a shot in the dark and hopefully, you know, get us to where he thought we could be. And again, like the one previous caller said, who has the confidence in AB or Paul DePodesta or whoever it is drafting people to you know, turn this team around and to get all these major draft picks? The only thing AB is good at doing is convincing free agents that our organization is somewhat functional. That's the only thing. And it's unfortunate because I tend to think I'm a level-headed fan, and, you know, there's sometimes where the fan base gets overreactive about certain things, whether it may or may not be true, but Miles knows exactly what's going on from inside the organization, and it's not good. It's not good, any of this.
All right, so, Roman, I've listened to your entire argument, and I agree with a lot of things, but, I mean, I don't know that owning a piece of the Cavaliers makes him... I don't see where that is a quality that makes him Mensa, the way you played it. I mean, that does. Hey, that's great. He's got the money. He's able to buy.
He's a fan and he has some cash.
Yeah, he's got. Usher, same thing. I mean, it was like the Haslams with the Steelers. Like, they're minority owners in the team. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know, Mensa when it comes to sports. And by the way, we sit here and listen every day, and every owner on every sports team pretty much gets ripped. So I think he is a smart guy. I think he knows what he wants to do. And I definitely think that the fact that he took the time premeditated to write in this release, the goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton, means that there is no love lost between him and Andrew Berry. Why would you say that? We know what Andrew said. And I think maybe that irked him that he was like, well, stop thinking for me. You know what I'm saying? You with me on that?
I can understand what you're saying there, but at the same time, it's about, you know, our front office always trying to be the smartest people in the room and act like it's some unwritten, you know, magic piece that they're going to find and do. And I don't have trust in Andrew Berry. I don't have trust in definitely not Jimmy Haslam. And I'm a Stefanski guy. I think if anybody stays, it should be Stefanski because he's playing with the cards that he's been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got a crappy hand from the guys ahead of him, and I think that's what some of this last season was, is that when he, you know, washed his hands of the play calling and said, here, this is what you guys want, give it a shot. See what your offense that you want with Deshaun at quarterback and his style of offense being run by Ken Dorsey. If this is what you guys want, this is how it is. Obviously, people got hurt. Things didn't go as anybody planned, but Jimmy Haslam is trying to be the Jerry Jones of the North.
Without the press conferences, Roman. Without the press conferences. So that's good. Daryl Ryder is our...
I don't know. I think it's more fun with press conferences, but Darryl, that's me.
Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. Daryl's been going nuts since the 11 o'clock announcement by Myles Garrett. Basically, I want to be traded. What does Daryl think? What does Daryl think is going to happen? The Browns have said, nope, we're not doing that. Daryl's thoughts next on Baskin and Phelps.